you've heard me say it before, that our hearts would be that good soil and receive the seed of the word, and it would bear much fruit. And God would, by his grace, restrain them from going into sin that some of us, as we grew up and didn't come to Christ till we were adults. So we pray that way. And just a wonderful week. Again, thank you to everyone who served, and the way that you served. It was a great testimony to our visitors this week, and there was a lot of excitement all week, and we thank the Lord for that. What a privilege. And our partnership with Camp Bighorn, isn't that great? Isn't that great? I don't know if you noticed, she didn't say it, but the girls did win the offering this year, so that was quite a deal. It got kind of competitive on Thursday and Friday as we're getting to the end of the week, and it was interesting. There were even leaders that were bringing dollar bills, and so it's just lots of different things to give to the children. It's special. It's special. It's all good. All good in that regard. Well, if you have your Bibles with me or with you, let's stand, and we're going to read John 16 again as we continue in this upper room discourse and hearing the very words of the Lord Jesus and the opportunity we have to learn from him as his disciples. John chapter 16, let me read. I'm going to read verses 1 to 33. These things I have spoken to you so that you may be kept from stumbling. And they'll make you outcast from the synagogue, but an hour is coming for everyone who kills you to think that he's offering service to God. These things they will do because they have not known the Father or me. But these things I have spoken to you so that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told you of them. These things I did not say to you at the beginning because I was with you. But now I'm going to him who sent me, and none of you asked me, where are you going? But because I've said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And he, when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me, and concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you no longer see me. And concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. And I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own initiative. But whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. And he will glorify me, for he will take of mine and will disclose it to you. All things that the Father has are mine, therefore I said that he takes of mine and will disclose it to you. A little while and you will no longer see me, and a little while you will see me. And some of his disciples then said to one another, what is this thing he's telling us? A little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me. And because I go to the Father. So they were saying, what is this that he says, a little while? We do not know what he's talking about. And Jesus knew that they wished to question him, and he said to them, are you deliberating together about this, that I said a little while and you will not see me, and again a little while you will see me? Truly, truly, I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will grieve, but your grief will be turned into joy. Whenever a woman is in labor, she has pain because her hour has come. But when she gives birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish because of the joy that a child has been born into the world. Therefore, you too have grief now, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and no one will take your joy away from you. In that day, you will not question me about anything. Truly, truly, I say to you, if you ask the Father for anything in my name, he will give it to you. Until now, you have asked for nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, so that your joy may be made full. These things I have spoken to you in figurative language. An hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figurative language, but will tell you plainly of the Father. And that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I will request of the Father in your behalf. For the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from the Father. I came forth from the Father and have come into the world, and I'm leaving the world again and going to the Father. His disciples said, lo, now you are speaking plainly and are not using a figure of speech. Now we know that you know all things and have no need for anyone to question you. By this we believe that you came from God. And Jesus answered them, do you now believe? Because an hour is coming and has already come for you to be scattered, each to his own home, and to leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken to you, so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for sending your Son, the Lord Jesus, to be our Savior. And Lord Jesus, you spoke these very words that are written down by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, as the Apostle John records these for us, to minister to us in these very moments we have right now, to teach us and to make us your disciples, that we would believe your word more. There are things that you want us to know and understand, and I pray that indeed the Spirit of God would illuminate our hearts and minds today, that we truly would be your disciples and we would hear your word and believe your word and have your word and obey your word, that which you have given to us would be ours, that which you are we would believe, and that which you promised to be would indeed be our faith and hope. And so would you do your work here in our midst, here in New Life Fellowship, that we would be your disciples. Your word would be heard and believed and obeyed. That even today, Lord Jesus, you would call the sinner unto yourself, for you are the Savior of the world. May the Spirit of God work in our midst here as he is here with us. And now would you teach us, we pray, as we understand the words of Jesus in a better way, that we might do greater things for his namesake. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. What a privilege it is for us to know and understand the word that Jesus gave to his disciples in the Upper Room Discourse. We've entitled the message this morning, "The Ministry of the Spirit of Truth for the Testimony of Christ." We see in this Upper Room Discourse, as we began in chapter 13, and we've been looking at these very words of Jesus that he spoke on the very night he was going to be betrayed. All that was yet before him, yet he ministers to his disciples and he teaches us much. And one of the key elements of this Upper Room Discourse is this teaching on the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And you've heard me say it before, and I say it again, we must understand the ministry of the Holy Spirit according to the words of Jesus. There's much more that is given to us, indeed, in the book of Acts and in the epistles, but foundational to our understanding of the ministry of the Holy Spirit is given to us by Jesus himself in this Upper Room Discourse. And we come to a passage this morning where indeed Jesus again highlights the ministry of the Spirit of truth for the testimony of Christ, that we would be and understand the truth that he's given us, the truth tellers and truth bearers and understanding the gospel. In this Upper Room Discourse that is given to us here in these few chapters in the Gospel of John, the words of the Lord Jesus are for his own disciples. They're filled with promises and blessings and prophecies. Jesus wants us to cling on to it. In the Gospel of John, we've been told that Jesus is the Son of God, that he is the personal revelation of God himself in the person of Jesus. We also learn that he is the Savior of the world, that every sinner who would be forgiven of their sins must come to Jesus and ask him to forgive them. And so not only he's the personal revelation as the Son of God, but he is the personal salvation as the Savior of the world. And then he's recorded for us and declared to be the resurrected Lord, the one who conquered sin and death, who died on a cross but was raised from the dead, and it is the personal declaration that indeed he is the resurrected Lord. And even as we read this morning, Jesus is going to depart from this earth and he's going to go back to the Father, having fulfilled the mission of the Father and claimed those who were his own and, as it were, gained the salvation through his death, burial, and resurrection, that every single one of us, any sinner, would put their faith and trust in him alone, they would have forgiveness for their sins. We have seen through this Upper Room Discourse, beginning in chapter 16, there's such privilege in having the words of Jesus. I just want to drive that home again to you again and again. We have great privilege as the disciples of Jesus to have his words. It's a privilege to know his words, to believe his words, to have his words, that the very words that are given to us here by inspiration of the Spirit of God, that we would know the truth of Jesus, that we wouldn't be believing the lies of men, that indeed the Spirit of truth would drive the way we live our lives, not the spirit of the age, that we would take the Word of God as the testimony of the Spirit's truth to us about who Christ is, and that we would believe it, and we would go and tell others who He really is. It's not my testimony that I tell you based purely on myself. It is the testimony of what Christ has done in me and who He is. And that He can save any sinner from any sin. Understanding and recognizing the great Savior that He really is. And we see the such advantage we have in the coming of the Holy Spirit. And this morning we'll look at such knowledge in revealing the truth from Jesus and about Jesus. And we're going to talk about the personal work of the Holy Spirit. We saw last time, if you remember, in verses 7 to 11, we saw that convicting ministry that the Spirit would have. Remember, the personal work of the Holy Spirit in the world is convicting, that He would convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And here in verses 12 to 15, Jesus would emphasize to His disciples, to these apostles of His, the personal work of the Holy Spirit through His apostles and communicating the truth about Him. That the Spirit of God is revealed as a testifier, as a revealer, even as a speaker and a teacher. For we believe and understand the testimony that the Word of God gives, that the very Word to us is given as the Word of God. You could even say it this way, that there is the divine source of the words and the writings of the Scriptures, and this is what Jesus emphasizes here in verses 12 to 15, in the very matters of the ministry of the Spirit of God to them, that these men would actually be part of the process in writing down the truth about Jesus as His testimony. So the ministry of the Spirit of truth for the testimony of Christ. Other verses we could consider even this morning, 2 Timothy 3, listen to these words. You, however, continue things you've learned and been convinced of, knowing that you have learned them, from whom you've learned them, that from childhood you've known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith that is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, rebuke, correction, and training in righteousness. It's the great declaration, that which we believe to be the authoritative writings that are inspired by the Spirit of God are given to us as Scripture. They are inspired by God. They are God-breathed. Even in Hebrews chapter 1, God would say it this way. God, after He spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions, in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, through whom He also made the world. And so this testimony here that Jesus gives is recognition that we live in this time, in these last days, that God would speak to us through His Son and in His Son. Even 2 Peter chapter 1. Peter would write this in verses 20 and 21, but know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture becomes a matter of one's own interpretation, for no prophecy is ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. The very words that we look at this morning are a testimony to the reality of what we find later on in the epistles describing for us. Look with me at John chapter 16. Let me read verses 12 and 15 again for us. I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth, for He will not speak on His own initiative, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will disclose to you what is to come. He will glorify Me, for He will take of Mine and will disclose it to you. All things that the Father has are Mine, therefore I said that He takes of Mine and will disclose it to you. This is such a wonderful, magnificent testimony that Jesus gives to us here in recognizing again the blessing. Did you notice how He identifies again the Spirit of God in verse 13? But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, and there's a series of statements, He will do this. He will do this. And then there's a repetition of that one statement over and over again. At the end of verse 13, and He will disclose to you. At the end of verse 14, and He will disclose it to you. At the end of verse 15, and He will disclose it to you. I'm here to tell you that God very clearly has spoken and given disclosure and revelation by the Spirit, inspiring the writings of His Word so that we would understand the truth. And the Spirit of truth is the author of those writings. Even though men were used to give record of that account. Yet the very testimonies, it is God's word, even as they wrote it down, they understood. And that only there were certain writings that were given that declaration to have such authority, to represent the very personal word of the Holy Spirit to men. And I understand and believe that in the New Testament, in the Old Testament, New Testament, God has given us this revelation that we would believe it and understand who He is. The Spirit of truth, I remind you again, Jesus has mentioned this a number of times. You look back with me at John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verses 16 and 17. Jesus says, I will ask the Father and He will send you another helper. Remember we said helper, comforter. These disciples will need help because of His absence, the very presence of the Spirit of God because of His absence, that He will be with you forever, and that is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see Him or know Him, but you know Him because He abides with you and will be in you, the great promise that the Spirit of God would be in them. Look down at verse 26. You see the same emphasis, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Do you see how Jesus, as He speaks about the ministry of the Spirit of God, He connects it with His relationship with His disciples. This ministry of the Spirit of God is personal and intentional for His disciples. And that's why the book of Acts is so important, because then it shows forth those who are truly His disciples, who are truly part of the church, who have the Spirit of God. And then we could go into the epistles and describe all the different places that describe how the Spirit of God dwells in the believer and the disciple of Jesus. But Jesus very clearly is telling them, He will teach you all things and bring to remembrance. His ministry is going to be about Me in your life. To carry on the ministry, or you could even say it this way, the relationship with the Spirit of God, between the Spirit of God and the disciple, is the continuation of the ministry of Jesus. And we're going to see this in a wonderful way this morning in the very teaching that Jesus has given. Look again with me at verse chapter 15, verse 26. Again, another place where Jesus mentions the Spirit, verse 26, when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, He will testify about Me, and you will testify also. Do you see it there again? The Spirit, dear friend, is really all about Jesus. And look at chapter 16. It could not be any clearer. Look at verse 14, and He will glorify Me, for He will take of Mine and will disclose it to you. It could not be any clearer, could it? In helping us understand in the testimony that Jesus gives, but here in verses 12 to 15, He's speaking very personally and in a very special way to those men that were with Him in that upper room. That they were going to be given revelation from God by the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the ministry of the Spirit of truth for the testimony of Christ, the things that He wants them to know and understand. And we would even say the summary of that is what we are given, not only in the Gospels, but in the epistles. Those become the very testimony of who Christ is. By the way, Jesus is everywhere in the New Testament. Four Gospels that describe His work and His ministry in great detail. The book of Acts that describes the ministry of His disciples on the earth who have been given the Spirit of God and to carry on the work of the ministry and establishing of the church on the earth and fulfilling the great commission of making disciples of Jesus. This is so important because the Spirit of God is going to disclose, declare, and tell them. He's going to give them information. He's going to give them, as one writer said, it has the implication of considerable detail in this announcing and informing and telling. Even the Apostle Paul would say it this way in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, speaking of his own ministry and recognizing what was written down. He says, For to us, this is 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 10 to 13, for to us God revealed through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among people know the thoughts of a person except the spirit of the person is in them? So also the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. That's so important. For you and I to think the very thoughts of God is only because the Spirit of God has revealed to us what the thoughts of God are. And the testimony written in the Scriptures. And so when we think the way God wants us to think, it's because we think according to the record of the truth that is given by the Spirit of truth for the ministry of the Spirit of truth for the testimony of Christ. And he goes on, he says, now we have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God. Listen to this. So we also speak these things, not in words taught by human wisdom, but those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. Paul would lay claim to the reality and the testimony of the very things that he was writing down, where God was the author of the writings, and the Spirit of God is the one who inspired them. Now, what makes this passage sometimes difficult for us is that there are factors of the ministry of the Spirit of God in every disciple and every believer that are indicated here also. But there's something really fascinating about this. Did you notice that the Lord Jesus doesn't tell his disciples, now you need to pray that he'll do this? We already read, he's asking them other places to pray and ask for things, but he doesn't ask them to ask the Spirit of God to do this particular ministry, because it's all of God. It isn't as though, you know, I really would like to write something down from God. Holy Spirit, would you give me something to write down? It doesn't work that way. Never did. And so understanding even what Jesus is saying here and the testimony. And yet there are elements to the ministry of the Spirit of God that go beyond what he's saying, that the Spirit of God indeed does lead us and teach us and guide us and help us and comfort us. But the focus here is in the matters of giving to us the truth, and in particular the truth about Jesus, so that, dear friend, you could have the truth about Jesus. You could know for certain that I believe right things about Jesus because the Spirit of truth has given to us the truth about him. Let's look at these verses together this morning and understand. Actually, let me read a quote here. Warren Wiersbe, he's gone to be with the Lord. He wrote so many commentaries. He says this way, when you compare John 14:26 and John 16:13, you see the wonderful way that God arranged for the writing of the New Testament Scriptures. The Spirit would remind them of what Jesus had taught them. This gives us the four Gospels. The Spirit would also guide them into all truth, and this would result in the epistles. He will show you things to come, quote-unquote, refers to the prophetic Scriptures, especially the book of Revelation. And so this is really exciting for us. This is where, when I say I believe that the Bible is the Word of God, you can point to passages like this and say, this is why I believe this is the Bible is the Word of God. And only these books, only this writing is inspired by the Spirit of God according to the words of Jesus. Because why, dear friend? It gives testimony for Christ. Let's look at this together. Beginning with the Spirit of truth will help them with the truth of Jesus. Look at verse 12. I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Don't you appreciate the very genuine, gracious nature of Jesus' teaching at this point? He understands what's going on. He's given them great theology. And maybe you felt like that up to this point. You thought, Pastor Tim, we've been diving deep into some theology here, making me really think deeply about these matters of Christ and his relationship with the Father and the Spirit of God, and that's good for us. But now Jesus takes a step back and says, you're not able to bear all things now. There's more that I want to tell you. And this is a clear indication as Jesus begins to instruct them that the instruction of the Spirit of truth is going to be based on the things that Jesus wants his disciples to know and to give and give testimony of him. It's so clear, is it not? That in their weakness and their limits, Jesus says the Spirit of God will bring to you the things that you need to understand the truth about me. Think about all the things that Jesus has already said that we've looked at in the Upper Room Discourse. And here, Jesus makes testimony that based on what he has already said, there's more of his teaching that they'll be given through the Spirit. And we believe very specifically in the writings of the New Testament. It is really wonderful to consider that even John, as he writes this gospel down, remember, John is the last gospel to be written, probably written somewhere between 90 and 92 AD, probably one of the last books written in the New Testament that he would disclose to us, as they can look back and see many books that would be identified as inspired by the Spirit, that they are scriptures. And the reason they believe that is because these men that were there that very night, Jesus spoke these words and the fulfillment of that prophecy. Dear friend, do you recognize that the writing of the New Testament is a fulfillment of the prophecy of Jesus himself? That's wonderful. And thinking through this matter, and so the Spirit of truth will help them with the truth of Jesus. But notice secondly here, the Spirit of truth will guide them in the truth of Jesus. Verse 13, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. What a statement. He will guide you into all the truth. When he, the Spirit of truth, comes. Do you know what we should think of when we consider that? The only reason we know the truth of God is because of the Spirit of truth. Do you understand that? Do you understand? Are you with me this morning? You understand? We can only know the truth of God because the Spirit of truth has given it to us, and that he would guide these very ones to give the testimony of Jesus and the teachings of Jesus. That's the only reason we have the truth of God. It doesn't come from within me. I must approach the objective, propositional truth of God given by inspiration of the Spirit. And then wonderfully, that same Spirit who wrote these writings illuminates and gives me instruction to teach me. And I'm here this morning to be the preacher, but I pray the Holy Spirit would be our teacher and that he would drive home these truths, that what he wants us to know and understand as he would glorify Christ. What a testimony. Notice what he says, verse 13, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, it's a good reminder, is it not, that there are other spirits. There's the spirit of the age, there's spirits of lies. Even the devil himself is a spirit of lies. A deceiver. And the only way that you're going to be able to know whether you've been deceived by Satan is if you know what the truth of God is. You're not wise enough. I'm not wise enough to figure it out. That's why we're warned a number of times, don't be deceived. Watch out for the deceitfulness of sin. Be on guard. Jesus would say to his very disciples on this very night, keep watching and praying, for the Spirit is willing, but what? The flesh is weak. Understanding these things, the Spirit of truth will guide them in the truth of Jesus. Verse 13, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide them into all the truth. I want you to see and understand, he will guide them, meaning to guide someone to acquiring information or lead someone to know. They couldn't know these things without the Spirit of truth. Don't you love it when you're on a tour guide and you have a really good tour guide? And they're telling you things like, wow, look at that. And they're explaining it to you. You ever been on one of those tour guides and it's like a canned presentation? It's like they're reading off a script. Come on. I want to know more about that. Think about the writings of the New Testament in the Spirit of God giving and guiding them into all truth, all the truth. It's so important because Jesus would say, there is the truth that you need to know about me that the Spirit is going to give to you. And Jesus would, based off what he said already in verse 12, I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. There would be what already he said, but even more things that he would say, but it is the truth about him. The Spirit of God isn't going to give them information about all things in regard to all matters. It is truth about him, which is probably the most important kind of truth you need to know. And it's why our culture spends so much time trying to bury it, distract us by other things, and that we become really good and experts and have great knowledge in all sorts of areas that will make no difference with our eternity. And the very Spirit of truth and the truth of Jesus kind of goes to the wayside. The very purpose of the gospel is for us to know the truth. Remember, Jesus is described as that he is the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, glories of the only begotten from the Father, full of what? Grace and truth. It's very clear. Even when you saw, remember in John chapter 14, verse 6, when Jesus says, I am the way, the what? The truth and the life. The children sang the song this morning. Remember in John chapter 16, verse 7, when Jesus said this, but I tell you the truth. And now, Verse 13, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. You know even what Jesus says later on in John chapter 17? In verse 17, he would pray to the Father and he would pray this, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. What do you think Jesus was meaning when he said the Spirit of God was going to guide you into all truth? It is the very word of God and the very truth about him that without that you would be totally lost in your sin. You would never come to him as Savior. It's one of the reasons why we should pray for those that are translating the Bible in different languages and praying for missionaries that are going out to unreached people groups and understand that there is a great need still, even on the earth today, to minister to people that have never heard. Let us consider these things and understand the presence of the truth which the Spirit of truth will lead them in. There is both both this truth is accurate and it is complete. And I believe that's when he's saying he will guide you into all the truth. And Jesus has in mind this body of truth about him that is going to be contained in the Word. And so we see the Spirit of truth will help them with the truth of Jesus. The Spirit of truth will guide them in the truth of Jesus. Notice third, the Spirit of truth will speak to them about the truth of Jesus. And he says the middle of verse 13, and he will guide you in all the truth, for he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes I'm reading through this Upper Room Discourse, and I kind of take a step back and say, now, what is Jesus meaning here? Because every word that he gives us is very important. And the plain meaning is obvious, is almost always the real meaning. Why would Jesus speak this way? Why is he talking about the Spirit of God speaking and hearing and not on his own initiative? Because the Spirit of God is a person who actually communicates with the other persons of the Godhead, God the Father and God the Son. And so Jesus is actually saying, he's giving us a glimpse into the reality of the communication, revelation, and the declaration that the actual Godhead is communicating together, that the source of the truth, of the spiritual truth will speak to them, is not of the Spirit, but is given to him by the Father and the Son. And if you want to hear something even wilder or one more wonderful, in verse 15, Jesus would say, all things that the Father has are mine. So everything that the Father is and has are mine. And guess what? The Spirit will take of mine and disclose it to you. So the Spirit takes what is of the Son's, and the Son has all that's of the Father's, and he discloses that to us so that we can understand the things of God. For apart from the Spirit of truth, we could not know the things of God. I imagine the looks on the faces of these men when Jesus said these things. We're going to think on the things of God? That's why when you read the Scripture sometimes and you just feel overwhelmed, you should feel overwhelmed. You are walking through the truth that is given by the Spirit of truth and giving testimony of Christ, and it is so glorious and wonderful. It is way beyond us. It makes us stop sometimes and we just want to, in wonder and praise, just lift our arms and say, dear God, thank you that you're such a God, that you would save a sinner such as me. That, Lord Jesus, I would know and receive the revelation given in your word, the communication that the Spirit received from the Father and the Son, and the declaration that is given through these apostles and the epistles and the gospels to me, that I can know you. This is more than approaching the Bible as an encyclopedia that you have a few facts. It is walking in the truth of the glory of God and understanding who the person of Jesus Christ really is. And it is so wonderful to us that no man can give it to us. Only God can give it to you. And he's given it to you in his word by the Spirit of truth. And that's why men like me stand up here and declare it to you and try to press it down on you and to say, this is wonderful. You need to know this. There's things at stake in your life to know these matters because God has spoken it to us. And the Spirit of truth will speak to them about the truth of Jesus. Did you see that in verse 13? For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will disclose to you what is to come. Wow. You know what's really, really interesting about this is that this is the exact same language that Jesus uses to describe his relationship with the Father. I don't speak on my own initiative. Whatever I hear, I speak. The very words that I speak are the words of the Father. And so there's a unity. There's a consistency with what the Spirit of truth has given when he guides them into all truth. Because it's exactly what we need to know of the Father and the Son and of the Spirit. And isn't that wonderful? It has been done. And dear friend, you don't need to long for God to speak to you. You don't need to pray and ask God, would you speak to me now? He has spoken in his word. He moves us and guides us, and there are things that the Spirit of God does in us and as our comforter helps us and teaches us, but he has taught. We should say, Spirit of God, teach me the truth that you have revealed. Make me a disciple of Jesus, that as you have given testimony of who Jesus is, that I also would give testimony. And he noticed the statement at the end of verse 13, and he will disclose to you what is to come. It seems most obvious, does it not? We've already seen Jesus is able to disclose what is to come as an expression of his own deity, that he speaks to these very men before these things happen. Now the Spirit of God is going to tell these men before the things actually happen what's going to be in the future, that become the very basis of the faith and hope of the disciple of Jesus. The Spirit of truth has given to us the testimony of Christ as what is going to come. That's why, dear friend, your Christian life and your understanding of theology should have involved in it things to come. There's still yet things to come. There's still things that God's going to do in all the prophecies that are given in the New Testament, particularly about the kingdom of God. The judgment as the Son would return to the earth. A recognizing that men will one day, who have not had their names written in the book of life, will be cast into the lake of fire to be tormented forever and ever. And some believe that these things will never happen because they haven't happened yet, but we believe they will happen because the Spirit of truth gave this to us as a testimony. Isn't it wonderful to consider the Spirit has this place and this work in the lives of these men, that they would write down these very words, and it is his word that causes us to understand and know these things? One man just plainly said, what Jesus is talking here is about the very revelation of God himself that the Spirit of truth will give. And it's wonderful to think that the Apostle John, writing this gospel, attributed these things to the very things that he's writing are because of what Jesus said right here. And then notice that last section, verses 14 and 15, the Spirit of truth will glorify Jesus with the truth of Jesus, revealing the things of God. This is so important. Verse 14, and he will glorify me, for he'll take of mine and disclose it to you. One man said it this way, in describing the ministry of the Spirit of God. Even as Christ was glorifying the Father by his obedience unto death, so the Spirit would glorify Christ by making clear the significance of his person and work. The Spirit's teaching mission would be first to receive the deposit of Christ-centered truth and then show it to believers, and it follows that a ministry to be Spirit-directed must be one that magnifies Christ. Oh, dear friend, this is what you can very clearly see. Is it the Spirit of God or not? Does the truth that is being told, does it glorify Christ? And we live in a day and age, do we not, that there's lots of people running around that they're claiming the Spirit of God is doing something, but I don't hear many people talking about Jesus. So important to understand, he will glorify me. And I don't know about you, but I read that and I realize, Lord Jesus, I cannot glorify you unless I learn to glorify you, because the Spirit of truth glorifies you. As a sinner, I'm my own king. I do my own thing. I'll go my way. I don't really think there's going to be consequences for my disobedience to this God. But when I recognize and understand the glory of Christ, that I deserve to be judged for not glorifying Christ. We get it all mixed up, don't we? We think God's got certain sins that are worse than other sins, and indeed there is judgment in particular to the rejection of Jesus himself. But dear friend, just a reminder that the reason why the Spirit of Truth wrote these writings down was that he would glorify Christ. And so we should be about glorifying Christ in all that we say and do. And the writings are given to us as the testimony of God that we would glorify Christ and lift him up. So the writings that the Spirit gives to us, the Spirit of Truth, are truth-orientated. They're Christ-centered. And understanding the way that he says it, look at verse 14. He will glorify me, for he'll take of mine and disclose it to you. Isn't that wonderful? He'll take of mine. He said in verse 12, I have many more things to say to you. Verse 14, he'll take of mine. That's why when you dive into the epistles, it's learning more and more about Christ. Would I even dare say it this way to us? Be very careful, dear friend, in your study of God's Word, that you're trying to get something out of it rather than seeing Jesus who's glorified in it. And maybe that's where the distinction needs to be made in our lives, where instead of just trying to find answers to questions sometimes, or just trying to get a little bit of information about this area over here, or just check off a box, that we need to identify and say, oh, Christ needs to be glorified more in that area of my life. There's an area where I need to confess and ask for forgiveness because he is not as glorified as he ought to be according to the testimony given by the Spirit of Truth, giving us the testimony of Christ. He will glorify him. You know what's really amazing too, and my time is going this morning. The relationship here between the Spirit and the Son is so important. Because such knowledge that is possessed by the Father and the Son also is given to the Spirit. Jesus says he will take of mine. He will do this and he will announce it to you. That's the basis of the revelation. It's what am I being taught about Christ? A fascination with the Holy Spirit apart from Christ is very dangerous, dear friend. And that's why there are so many abuses of the Holy Spirit in the world today. When it's disconnected from glorifying Christ, all sorts of wild things can happen. But if it's connected with glorifying Christ, we can say, well, is Christ glorified in that? What glory of Christ is being revealed? How are sinners being drawn to the Savior? How is it that I see in my Savior that he is the Son of God, the Savior of the world, and the resurrected Lord, and giving testimony of that? And one of the ways that I want you to see this, and I'm going to take a little bit of time here, just go with me here for a few minutes over to Ephesians. And I want you to see this. Every time the Spirit of God is mentioned in the New Testament, it is always in connection with Jesus. And the book of Ephesians is a glorious book to understand this, because Paul is speaking about the theology of the church body, and then he speaks of the theology of church ministry, divides the book up two parts, chapters 1 to 3, verses 4 to 6. But look with me at Ephesians chapter 1. I want you to see this. When he's exalting Christ, there the Spirit is. Look at verse 7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished in us in all wisdom and knowledge, and made known to us the mystery of his will, according to the kind intention and purpose he had in with all administration suitable to the fullness of times, and all things, summing of all things in Christ, things in heavens and things on the earth. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will, to the end that we who were the first to hope in Christ would be to the praise of his glory. Do you see that? To the praise of his glory. We're to hope in him and to be saved. And then notice verse 13. In him, this one to whom the praise of the glory, you after listening to the message of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, have also believed, have been sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise. Wait a minute. The reason why you have the Spirit of God and he is the Holy Spirit of promise is because Jesus is the Savior. It's a wonderful testimony. Do you see it? Well, chapter 2 does the same thing. Look at the end of chapter 2. He's talking about God's household, verse 19. The people of God, the church, verse 20, having been built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. I believe that's their writings, their testimony, right? That Jesus speaks of in John 16. It's the foundation of this house. It's to be foundation to everything that is done there. The teaching, look at it again, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, a revelation that came through them. Then end of verse 20, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. Isn't that wonderful? And you go, yeah, that's wonderful. Well, where's the Spirit of God in all that? Look at it. Verse 21 and 22. In whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord. Oh, there you go. And then look at verse 22. In whom we also have been built together in the dwelling of God in the Spirit. Do you see it? Do you see the connection between the ministry of the Spirit of God and the work of Jesus Christ in the life of the church? I could show you in chapter 3 the same thing. I could show you in chapter 4 the same thing. I want to show you in chapter 5 a verse that's very familiar to us, Ephesians 5:18. Do not be drunk with wine, for this is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Ah, yes, be filled with the Spirit. But do you know why you're to be filled with the Spirit? Did you know? Look at verse 19. Speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart in the Lord. You're to be filled with the Spirit so you can sing out. And what are you to sing out about? Things we sang about this morning. I love the first song this morning, and I think we're going to sing it again at the end, and it's wonderful. And the testimony of Christ and praising Him. Notice it, verse 20. Always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God. Being filled with the Spirit and singing songs is so that Christ should be thanked and praised. And then one of my favorites, because it's Vacation Bible School week, Ephesians chapter 6. The verse that they learned all these verses, but be strong in the Lord, the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God. Do you know what one of the pieces of the armor is? It was the last day, and it was kind of a dangerous day to be here for Vacation Bible School. You know why? There were a whole bunch of swords of the Spirit wandering around. I got poked by them, right? Okay? So the Lord be strong in the strength. The Lord put on the armor of God, and one of the pieces of the armor, verse 17, is the sword of the Spirit. He says, which is the Word of God. It's almost like that's in summary. If we go back to John 16, that's exactly what Jesus is saying in verses 12 to 15. He's going to place in your hand the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And in the ministry of the Spirit of truth for the testimony of Christ. Isn't that wonderful and beautiful? And by the way, back in verse 15, all things that the Father has are mine. Jesus isn't saying, I'm still waiting to get a few things from the Father. No. I have it all. I'm not waiting for more. And then he says, therefore I said that he takes of mine and will disclose it to you. He does that. It's a present, these are present active verbs that emphasize the reality that it is present, that the Spirit has what is Christ and the Father's, and he can give to his disciples, his apostles, and write down the Word of God because of the Spirit of truth. One more quote here in thinking through this and understanding the testimony that God has given and recognizing what God would do in our lives. It is essential that we see the work of God. This is Warren Wiersbe again. It's essential that we see the work of the Spirit of God as never divorced from Jesus Christ or the Word of God. He shall testify of me, John 15, 26. He will glorify me, John 16, 14. People who claim the Spirit of God led them to do things contrary to the example of Christ or the teaching of the Word are mistaken and are being led astray by Satan. Jesus is the truth, John 14, 6. And the Word is truth, John 17, 17. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. Where the Holy Spirit is at work, there must be truth. This is so powerful. And one of the areas that I think that we are struggling in, even as a Christian culture, is understanding even the songs that we sing. And there are on occasions when hymns are written, and you can read lots of hymns that are written and lots of songs about the Holy Spirit. But there's a very growing trend, dear friend, of songs that are about the Holy Spirit that make no mention of Jesus at all. I don't know how you reconcile that with John chapter 16, verses 12 to 15. And I don't mean that like in a judgmental way. I just know that there are others who have written, and if you go back and you were to open up an old hymnal, and often when the hymn writer would speak of the Spirit of God, he's spoken about the Father and the Son and the Spirit, and how the Spirit would glorify the Son, and the Son glorifies the Father. It's more in line with what we see here in the words of Jesus. Listen to one hymn that is written by the Gettys called "The Holy Spirit, Living Breath of God." It says this: "Holy Spirit, living breath of God, breathe new life into my willing soul. Bring the presence of the risen Lord to renew my heart and make me whole. Cause your word to come alive in me. Give me faith at what I cannot see. Give me passion for your purity. Holy Spirit, breathe new life in me. Holy Spirit, come abide within me. Make your joy be seen in all I do. Love enough to cover every sin in each thought and deed and attitude. Kindness to the greatest and the least, and gentleness that sows the path of peace. Turning my strivings into works of grace. Breath of God, show Christ in all I do. Holy Spirit, from creation's birth, give life to all that God has made. Show your power once again on earth. Cause your church to hunger for your ways. Let the fragrance of your prayers arise. Lead us on the road of sacrifice, that in unity, the face of Christ will be clear for all the world to see." Did you hear it? The ministry of the Spirit of truth for the testimony of Christ. So powerful and wonderful. Look on your notes this morning as we consider these things together. The Spirit of truth will help, and He'll guide, and He'll speak, and He'll glorify. And that's exactly what He's done in the writings of the New Testament. And so it is for us to understand, to help us understand more about Christ, to guide us into the truth about Christ that we really are. Do we really believe Him for who He is and what He has said? Sometimes I'm talking to people and I'll say, "Dear friend, are you sure the Jesus that you believe in is in the Jesus that is given to us in the Bible?" Sometimes I hear people make comments and they quote things and they speak on the behalf of Jesus, and I say, "Now, where in the gospel did Jesus say that or do that?" I'm not trying to be short about it. I'm just like, the testimony of truth given by the Spirit of truth is to glorify Christ, and so let's do that. Let's point to that truth. Think of these things together. The need for the truth from Jesus and about Jesus in your life as His disciple revealed by the Spirit of truth. This truth is so important for us to know. We have a great need, and that should motivate our Bible study. I believe this to be the Word of God. The Spirit of truth has given this so that He would declare to us the testimony of Christ, that I would believe and that I might glorify Him. Notice what else? Without the ministry of the Spirit of truth communicated in the Word of God, we would not have the truth of Jesus. And so not only does the Spirit of truth writing this down for us in the Bible motivate our Bible study, but it also helps us evaluate our theology. And we all have a theology. But some of our theology is not really rooted in what the Bible says, if we're not careful. Is it really based on what the Spirit of truth has given? Is it really based on the ministry of the Spirit of truth for the testimony of Christ? And then notice finally, and glorifying Jesus is the ministry of the Spirit of truth, so that we also, as disciples of Jesus, will be glorifying Jesus. It activates our ministry. Did you realize, dear friend, that one of the greatest things that can happen when you read what the Spirit of truth has given us as a testimony of Christ, that He would glorify Christ, that you would go and desire to glorify Him also. And you would be willing to do away with whatever things in this world have caused you to stumble. You would be willing to confess whatever sins have been holding you back. You would be willing to mark it down and make your allegiance and obedience to Him who died on the cross for your sins. And so we glorify Jesus, because the ministry of the Spirit of truth is to glorify Him. It motivates our Bible study, it evaluates our theology, it activates our ministry. May God do that in our midst here. We pray, Lord, I just ask that You would do that. Indeed, the Spirit of truth has given the testimony of Christ. May the ministry of the Spirit of truth be strong in this church body as we look to the Word, that it would motivate our Bible study. It would cause us to evaluate our theology, and it would activate our ministry for one another. Lord Jesus, this is so important for us. Spirit of God, do the work in our midst here that Christ would be glorified. All of us come into this place with limitations. All of us here have distractions. We pray that there would be a great work of the Spirit of God in our midst as we take the word of truth and minister. Help us to do that here at New Life Fellowship in greater ways, that Christ would be glorified, that his teachings would be the focus and emphasis of what we do and say here in this place. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.